It's time for another great episode of the Ringside Rant with your host from the hills of West Virginia, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, this is RJ.
Today's episode is brought to you by DB. DB is a Scandinavian brand that makes backpacks and bags to help people on the move stay ready for anything. From the streets to the peaks, DB's gear is travel tested by some of the world's best athletes, adventurers, and creators. Over the past decade, DB has designed and developed, released, and refined the best bags on the market. With DB's patent hookup system, you are able to attach smaller products to your backpack, roller, or tote. When I travel to Chicago in September for Top Guy Weekend, I need some great luggage, and DB is just that. We are teaming up with DB to exclusively offer our listeners 10% off your next purchase by using the code POD10. That's POD10. Or going to the link that are in the show notes. DB, it's time to move on. Time to get going.
Take the shirt off. What? I said, take the damn shirt off. You damn right, it's your bad. Take the stupid shirt off. I want it.
Whoa! That's Kurt Angle's music, but my God, he wouldn't be coming out here in the... My God! What is that? That's Kurt Angle, all right, but it's a damn milk truck! Kurt Angle's driving a milk truck right up to the ring! Angle just butted the milk truck right into the ring! And he's throwing milk cartons at the Alliance!
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is here with you. I am the man with a magical voice, RJ. He is the man from the hills of West Virginia. The man who just quit playing with his dog's bark box. He is the one. He is the only Mr. JD Justin Davis. What's up, bud?
It is a dog day afternoon here in Huntington, West Virginia. Good to be back here on Ringside Rant. And yes, we got a WWE themed bark box, which features a squeaky Ultimate Warrior and the People's Champ himself, The Rock. And The Rock even came with a chair. And we know The Rock and steel chairs sometimes shouldn't go together. But in this case, it did in the bark box.
Now, did you also say The Warrior was in there too?
Yes.
Are you purposely omitting that?
I'm hoping that that Owen takes that out in the backyard and shits on it. We'll see if he learns how to, if we can teach him that trick.
Well, hey, well, at least the Owen will have this. Owen will have a better match with the Warrior too.
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's got to happen, right? So we had a lot of positive reactions to the last week's episode on beautiful Bobby Eaton that we had, and we're looking to hit the ground running again this week. Our topic this week is Kurt Angle, the American hero himself, who won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck. This is, as we're listening today, it is the 20th anniversary of Milkomania, the audio you just heard previous to this. Unbelievable, man. He, at that time, he was basically keeping the WWE afloat. Just because we all knew what was going on with that. That was going with the, what do you call it? The invasion angle. And Austin was flipping to the other side, back and forth. But Angle, everybody thought that he was going to be the heel right off the bat, turn the American hero over. But push comes to shove. It happened a little bit later, but I think they justified it correctly, turning Austin heel, because Austin worked better as a heel, I think.
Yeah, I mean, JR doesn't like that heel turn. And, you know, looking back at it, I don't know if more or less maybe a 9-10 month hiatus would have been better than turning Austin heel. But, yeah, that was an interesting segment. You can milk anything with teats, including a truck.
Well, and you can become a Dairy Queen, too, if you just stand in the ring and get mowed down by a hose of milk. But it's interesting to see it, because this pretty much played off of what Austin did with the beer truck with the mm-hmm. McMahons years previous. And then fast forward, AEW, everybody wants to, you know, for the better use of term, shit on AEW for going back and playing off the nostalgic feels of wrestling fans. A lot of the Attitude Era fans, yourself, myself included, are older now and have kids or have whatever, siblings or whatever, that are older that can remember it and relive it and go back. But yeah, this was an interesting time in the business in general in 2001, when, as we're talking about the anniversary of Milkomania.
Yeah, I think 2001 was kind of the last year of the Attitude Era. Kind of, you know, I mean, 2001 was like the last hurrah of that 97 to
right
to there, you know.
I'd say about 2001, 2002, more towards, I'd say the summer of 2002. After that, you know, we had WrestleMania there, I get that, but you didn't really see a lot after that, because we, I believe 2002 was the main event, was Brock versus Rock, where Brock became, until Randy did it later, years after, the youngest heavyweight champion of all time.
Rock versus Rock. Too bad they didn't have the old McMahon intro into that WrestleMania. That would have been bad. Yeah. It's Brock! It's Rock! It's WrestleMania! That would have been good.
You should have done it. You should dub it back. You should do it. Why not?
I love that old opening. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. And then the whole Vince intros, man. Those were badass back in the day. I miss those intros to WrestleMania.
And I think they tried doing that when they did, what the hell was it? Rock, or not Brock, shit. Edge versus Orton, when they had that Pandemic Mania at the Performance Center, when they had the old school. Was it that or was it something else? I don't think it was, no.
I don't know.
I don't remember. They did some. One of the pay-per-views, they did like an old school feel to it, where they had the microphone come down from the ceiling, and they had, I think it was the year Fink died, because they were paying homage to him at WrestleMania.
But yeah, if you guys haven't watched some old WrestleMania, check out WrestleMania 6, because Vince does a great one in that, when it's like, when stars collide in the universe, and then he like starts flipping out. it's Hulk Hogan, it's the Ultimate Warrior, and it's just awesome. That's probably my favorite Vince intro to WrestleMania. WrestleMania 6.
I think his intros were a hell of a lot better than his actual commentary.
Oh, no shit.
And his commentary was absolutely horrendous. And everybody, oh, he was one of the best of all time. No, he fucking wasn't. I'm like, his intros were great. I'll give him that.
Sometimes I think he's a little bit better than people give him credit for nowadays. But just the, oh, what a maneuver, over and over again gets old.
But one thing that doesn't get old is Mr. Rich Palladino. He's lifting weights. He's running around the block. I hear, rumor has it, he's running a 4-minute mile. So he's almost about to like that marathon level of being conditioned. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
4-minute mile?
Yeah.
That's longer than a Saturday night in my bed. 4 minutes. That's got me beat.
We can't transition to that, so let's just send it up to Rich now.
Ringside Rant fans, it's the opening contest.
All right, I'm actually a little winded now just watching Rich run around the ring as much as he did, but I'm glad he's in shape. I'm glad that you're still very much rested after that 4 minutes. 3 minutes and 58 seconds, but anyways.
I once ran a mile in 6 minutes and 12 seconds. I was pretty proud of that.
I used to run like a 5.5-6 minute mile in high school.
Yeah.
Cause we had to do it every year for baseball.
I had to do it for,
well, we did it for baseball. Cause we did a fundraiser where we ran a mile and we had to get sponsors and all that stuff and have, you know, people pay money to have us run and all that crap. And yeah, baseball players shouldn't have to run miles. You should know that.
Yeah, it's true. I remember that kind of back in elementary school, though, where we had those walkathons for like during recess.
Right.
Like you got like a punch in your card every lap you did, right, and you did it to raise some shit money. But I guarantee the teacher just made the whole thing up so it would get us to be good and just walk in a fucking circle the whole time we were in recess.
This Into the Weeds segment has been brought to you by Devilish Devin Dowling.
That's right. That's his new nickname.
We were going to consider, I was considering, and I told you this before we hit recording, the world's least dangerous man, Devin Dowling. But I figured that was too long and I don't want to get like copyrighted and cease and desist from Ken Shamrock. So we're going with Devilish Devin Dowling. So, yes,
and I came up with that name because the girls basketball team at my high school was referred to the Devilish Darlings. So now, because we are the Green Devils and they were the Devilish Darlings. So now we have Devilish Devin Dowling.
What the hell's a Green Devil?
I don't know what the hell's a Blue Devil. That's what the dude is.
Is that a devil that is wants too much money, that wants a lot of money or something?
It's like the greedy devil. He lives in the greedy section of hell.
Oh, okay.
That's where all the lawyers go.
No, because we were the Red Devils in high school.
Yeah. That's where Michael Amend will be, in that section.
Pretty much the lawyer section. The lawyer section of hell. We're going right. And just for that, we're going to be going to hell ourselves. So, but one guy that isn't going to be going to hell is Kurt Angle. So we're going to transition right over easily to that. Kurt Angle obviously is known for winning the gold medal in the 96 Summer Olympics with a broken freaking neck, like we mentioned at the top of the show. But what we don't know is how he got involved with the wrestling business is, Vince McMahon basically gave him one of these 5-year deals, 10-year deals, whatever. I think it was like a 10-year deal originally. And then he's like, no, he can't. He's going to deny it. He's not going to accept it. So then he has to go to, goes all the way to, I believe, August of 98. And now he's got to try out. So he goes to the Funkin' Dojo with Dory Funk Jr. I think that was the best option for him, because that we wouldn't have gotten really that wrestling machine that we got now.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, life works out for a reason the way it does. And in Kurt's situation, I think it worked out just perfect for how everything worked out. I think maybe if he goes into it in 96, early 97, he just coming off the Olympics, I don't know if there's enough separation there for him to really throw himself into it like he ends up doing later on.
And it's funny, too, because, you know, rumor has it, he's talked about it on his show, that he basically said that he can't lose.
He told Vince, I can't lose. I'm an Olympic gold medalist, God damn it.
But and I'm like, I'm thinking, like, I guess the balls you have to say
tell that.
Tell
that to Iron Sheik.
He humble your ass.
I humble you.
Your ass. But he goes down to the fucking dojo training camp in Stamford, Connecticut. Then he started beginning to, you know, learn the ropes. He worked with the WWF developmental, the WWA wrestling, World Wrestling Alliance, and Dr. Tom Pritchard, man. He has turned out so many phenomenal athletes, Hall of Famers. Kurt Angle, obviously Rock is not a Hall of Famer, but he will be obviously soon. But
heralded athlete, Vince McMahon.
Oh, of course. Shane McMahon. You can't. He trained him with those rabbit punches.
Bruce fucking Pritchard.
Did you fucking listen to the one this week they did on Ron Simmons where he's like, yeah, I got over with that APA Invitational or something. He lasted all the whole time until Ron Simmons beat his ass or something. It's like, it was either me or the Easter Bunny. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? I'm like, that's a sentence you're never going to hear again. It's either Bruce or Brother Love or the Easter Bunny. It's something you're never going to hear again.
I love you.
Yeah. But after that, Angle started working a lot of, made his television debut at Survivor Series, November 14th of 98. We saw that he basically, I don't know if he defeated Sean Stasiak, Dr. Sean, we should say.
Meat.
So I don't know. Was he meat at this time? I don't think that. Was this 98 though?
Mm-hmm. That's when he was meat, I think. 98, 99, wasn't it?
Might have been.
Yeah.
But we talk a lot about theme music here. Obviously, we're going to get to that later, last segment. But
I think you're right. He may have not been meat yet. Right
he couldn't here. Have been meat. Cause
yeah,
that was,
I think that was like
after
maybe
that.
2099.
Cause that was way well after they WCW sold. But he started using the Patriots theme metal. I cannot listen. We just, I did a lot of research, done some research for a future show, and Shawn Michaels, or excuse me, Bret Hart was facing the Patriots.
Yes, and that was Patriots music. Yeah.
Yeah. And I cannot, obviously, there's not too many Patriots matches out there. Rest in peace, Del Wilkes. But I cannot listen to anything that he does now because all I hear is Kurt Angle's music.
Sergeant Slaughter used that music a little bit too, actually. Little known fact.
I think it was late after Del used it, right?
I think. I don't know.
I but they basically strapped the rocket to Kurt's ass at this time. And he started working a lot of these matches, beating everybody, and was undefeated for several weeks until he ran into a brother from another mother, Taz, with two Z's. Yes, I said two Z's. Then that was at the Royal Rumble in 98 there, right there in Madison Square Garden. Do you think, hindsight being now, we know what trajectory that Taz had, what trajectory Kurt had. Do you think him basically tapping him out or forcing him to pass out, did that really do detriment to Angle's career at that point?
No. Nah. No, and everybody needs to lose because if not, then the whole Goldberg shit starts to build up. And that's just, I don't know. to me, it has to happen eventually. It needs to happen in a good way if you're going to continue to build higher after that. If you're not just going to throw an angle away, not excuse the pun, but you know, here felt like it was done in the right way. It didn't hurt at Kurt Angle at all. Obviously, he was the world champion pretty soon. You know, within a year.
And I'll bring this up too. Is we've seen so many nowadays, we've seen so many athletes, WWE, AEW, professional wrestling in general, have seen a lot of crossover athletes, whether it be from your major professional sports, whether it be from amateur wrestling, whatever. Kurt Angle's got to be the best of all time, the crossover athlete, right?
I would say second.
I swear to God, if you say somebody, I'm
going to
be pissed off.
Little
right
known
now.
Fact, Bret Hart was a champion. He was a champion wiffle ball player.
Oh, God
damn it. You didn't know that. So he was champion wiffle ball player.
I thought he was a curling athlete or a curling superstar.
I think he did a little bit on the on the side. But no, Kurt Angle is definitely probably the number one. I mean, there's others on the list.
Right.
Ernie Ladd, Chief J Strongbow. Both, you know, NFL players. There are many others, but I think that if you just talk about a guy that really was the top at his sport and then became the top in professional wrestling, Kurt Angle's probably the lone guy there.
And you can even see, like you said, you got Ernie Ladd, you got a lot of... Kevin Green, we'll bring him up too, because that in WCW, you don't really see a lot of professional football players with that just willy nilly coming in. Obviously, we saw Mongo McMichael, but
Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah. But the impact that he had, I'm not saying he's anywhere near Kurt Angle, but later on, you to see the other side of it, to see the WCW side of it, anyways. Because obviously we know what happened with the WWE.
And don't forget Jim Neidhart, champion shot putter.
And I believe Adam Bomb was a champion ping pong player.
Good for him. It's good to know that he did something good back in the day.
Hey, don't you disparage a good goddamn name of Adam Bomb. Brian Clark, goddamn son. Chronic, come on!
In order to like their matches, I have to smoke Chronic.
This segment of the Ringside Rant is brought to you by CBD. Well, we're really going off in the weeds this week, Justin. You're welcome, Devin. I mean, Devilish Devin.
I'm shot out of a cannon today.
What did we get all pissed off at work or something? Now you're back in school. You're running on empty now.
I had me a monster this afternoon. That's what it is.
Did the monster know? Oh, the drink. Okay. There's that 4 minutes again. So fast forward a couple of years, we're going to see Kurt Angle just get thrusted into the championship contendership, whether it be for the European Championship, the IC Championship. Year 2000 was basically his year. 2000 to 2001. That bracket there, he's winning every major championship that can be won in the company. He became the first, as he was billing himself, as a Eurocontinental champion.
Eurocontinental, I like that.
That absolutely popped me. Going back and watching all this stuff now, 2099 was really when I started really, really revving up into this, into wrestling. Kurt Angle was my guy. Absolutely phenomenal. Once he left the company, we'll get to later, but he kind of petered off, couldn't watch his stuff because it was with TNA and TNA was TNA. But anyways, he would later then drop both titles. Never really being pinned. So that kind of saved his allure.
Yeah, he was in a triple threat, right? And he was the one that didn't get pinned.
WrestleMania 2000, when he had the triple threat against Jericho and Benoit.
Mm-hmm. Talk about three workers all in a match right there.
Dude, when you want to talk about in-ring work, go back and watch pretty much any match in this, well, male matches in the year basically from 2000 to 2002. That was when the business was absolutely hot on the WWF side anyways. Because, you know, obviously we're going to see WCW fold within a matter of a year here in 2001. But, man, it was just...
I mean, if you think about it, what happened here, and there's a lot that is always a lot of conjecture all about, you know, what was going on, why did WCW fold? But right there is one reason. If you think about the people on the WWE roster, they could absolutely go. Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero, Kurt Angle, you know, eventually Shawn Michaels would be on there. But, and then WCW, what's going on over there?
Nothing.
Hulk Hogan and, you know, whatever.
As Tony Schiavone would say, it was a coffin on roller skates.
Yeah. So that's, you know, definitely Edge and Christian over here at this time. I mean, just all of these guys could go and work, mm-hmm. and they were all young.
Yeah.
What a roster. That really, if you look at, like you said, 2000, 2001, that may have been one of the strongest rosters they've ever had.
Yeah. And we're not even talking about guys like a Triple H, Austin, Undertaker, Kane.
Yeah.
It was just the roster was so deep for the WWE in 2000 to 2002 that you go to these house shows, that's when house shows are like the jam, man. You go to whether it's, I'm sure out in like Cincinnati area, West Virginia, wherever. And same out here, you get the smaller venues and you'd see people that you normally wouldn't see.
I went to a house show in Cincinnati in late 98. And I mean, that was just signs everywhere. The Rock and Stone Cold were both just so over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a blast to go to.
Yeah. Towards the mid 2000s here, we're going to see him starting to align himself with Edge and Christian, as you previously mentioned, Team Wreck. They would add Rhino later on.
Yeah.
The four of them.
And those four actually were, you know, Curtis said on his show, those four travel together a lot.
Yeah. And we implore you to, after you listen to this episode, of course, go over and listen to the Kurt Angle show. You get to see, I'm in absolute heaven with listening to that show between him and Jeff Jarrett. Those are the two dudes that in the 2000s were my jam. In the 90s, late 90s were my jam. But Team Eck would then feud with Too Cool and Rikishi, another guy that is, I think, criminally underrated.
He was hugely over at this point.
And over or overrated?
Over. Oh, he was over. As hugely oh. over as his ass. Well, he right. was huge.
And now, even Too Cool, man. Brian Christopher and...
Oh, yeah, they were over.
And Scotty Too Hotty, man. And Scotty's still part of the developmental in NXT, if you can call him developmental, whatever. He's a trainer, he's a coach, whatever. But Angle would have this feud with Rikishi, man. He would defeat him in the 2000 King of the Ring finals. That's
a good feud to keep him getting over. Cause like we just said,
yeah,
Rikishi's over.
Right.
So when you're throwing him in with these hugely over people, it's going to bring him up onto that level and put him up.
And even with Rikishi, man, not a lot of people understand this lineage of Rikishi. That Samoan dynasty that he was a part of. He's pretty, if you look at when he started, he was one of the, what was he, a Samoa SWAT team in WCW. Yeah. Came over to the WWF at that time after he left WCW. And he was what, one of the head shrinkers. He was what, that was what, WrestleMania, that was they what, 94, 95, maybe?
They were tag team champions.
Yeah, tag team champions. And just a lot of people will look at a Jericho or Undertaker, Triple H, insert person here that has continually reinvented themselves. Edge, Christian, Kurt Angle, whatever.
Rikishi's one of them.
Rikishi's got to be one of them.
He was also the Sultan.
Exactly. Who wrestled The Rock
which
at
didn't
WrestleMania
work,
12.
But it, they tried something else.
But the thing is, when you have, and we'll get back, same with Kurt Angle, is when you have somebody that is a veteran like a Rikishi, who is over. Yeah, he might not have been over when he was a Sultan, but you throw him with a guy like a Kurt Angle, with a Rocky Maivia before he became The Rock in, was it 96 there at WrestleMania 12. Get these young kids over by throwing them against a Rikishi, throwing them against an X-Pac, throwing them against Dean Malenko, Chris Jericho, whatever.
Rikishi and like a guy like Glenn Jacobs are guys that got multiple opportunities.
Right.
But the reason why they did is because they're good dudes that can work in the ring and they're good guys to have in the locker room. And I feel like when you do those things, you elongate your opportunities.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And like I said, I omitted Kane off that list, so I apologize. But he was another one. Dr. Isaac Yankem. He was a unit. Was it the Unabomber in Smoky Mountain?
Maybe. I don't know, but I know he was Diesel, right?
He was a fake Diesel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. It's going to bug the crap out of me now that I don't. He was like the Unabomber or something, bomber or whatever in Smoky Mountain because he actually wrestled The Undertaker.
Yeah, I know he definitely wrestled in Smoky Mountain.
And, but yeah, it was just, you get somebody like that, though, keeps reinventing themselves. We saw Kurt Angle in his first WrestleMania match against Kane. And like I said, it just, I don't think, still to this day, Kane doesn't get the just due that he deserves because you don't stay in the business as long as he did with not being a good worker and without not being a good person in front of the camera, behind the camera, whatever. A guy that he's the mayor, but if I would think if he wasn't the mayor, he'd be a producer.
Yeah. He's just a guy that was just there for so long. He's almost like that guy on the baseball team that has been there for 15 years and the city loves him and his whole career. He's hit 6th to 8th and he's not the star, but he's solid for you. You know what I mean? And that's what Glenn Jacobs did for WWE. He was just solid.
Right.
He wasn't the main player. Sometimes he was, but for the most part he wasn't, but he was always a good layer, you know, to the story.
Well,
he
might not have been the guy, but he was working with the guy, whether it be Undertaker or Austin or Triple H or Kurt Angle. That's a lot of angst to go put this guy against your up and coming blue chipper in a Kurt Angle. And it's just, I wish they would have ran with that a little bit longer, but I get why they didn't, because they kind of wanted to elevate Kurt a little bit more to into the heavyweight title reign. Which will bring us next to the next topic is his feud with Triple H. In 2000, I get you want to push the envelope a little bit, but this love triangle bullshit with Triple H and Stephanie.
Yeah.
I get it. If you hint at it a couple times, whatever, I get it. It's a male soap opera that you want to see it, blah, 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 blah. 2000 might've been like watching it live. I was probably thinking of a different way, but now looking back at it now, I'm like, I really don't want to see this because you're going to see Stephanie later on turn on her husband, quote unquote. And it's just,
well, Triple H is in it, so I don't want to see it anyways.
Oh God. Jesus Christ. I swear to God, if he wore black and pink, he'd probably like it.
No.
Then
I would call Michael Dawkins and tell him to sue his ass for gimmick infringement.
Good old Doc. Good old Doc. Good to see him on ad-free shows, back on ad-free shows with his live ad.
Is it?
Is it?
Is it good?
Is it good to see him? Is that what you're hitting at?
Yeah.
No, he's a good dude. No, and looking forward to see. I think he's going to be in Chicago too.
I love Mike. Is awesome. I got to hang out with him a little bit in Jacksonville. Yeah.
Looking while we're on that, I wanted to give a shout out real quick to Denovius out of the hospital. He was in a battle a little bit there this past week with due complications from COVID and whatnot. He is home, and I've been chatting with him a little bit. He's home. He's comfortable. Just looking to get his lungs back where they should be, his oxygen levels higher and all that stuff. So shout out to Denovius. Hopefully we'll see you in Chicago, man.
Get some rest for sure. Feel better.
Cause you'll definitely need it if you're going to Chicago, that's for damn sure.
Yeah. And since you're resting up at home, Denovius, I hope you have enough time to research and know that the screw job wasn't a work. Look it up.
Jesus Christ. Dude, the dude was just in the hospital, man. You gotta put that crap.
He's
on
out
him.
Now. He's well, out.
Whatever,
now.
Whatever. It's not the point. It's not the point. God damn. This is why we can't have nice things. But yeah, this Triple H crap. I just never got it with involving Stephanie. It could have been so much easier if you involved The Rock or Rikishi or something in that. To make it a little bit better, but nope, we're going to put Stephanie in there. I don't get it. I just, whatever.
Yep.
But you're starting to see this 2000. We're going to pretty much breeze through this 2000 because it's a lot of stuff a lot of people have already talked about is you're starting to see him basically running around main eventing, going into this fucking, that six-man Hell in a Cell match, and miraculously escaping with the title after he won it from Triple H, or excuse me, not Triple H, after he beat, was it Austin?
I'm not sure.
I have it in my notes. It's somewhere, but after he won the title, he'd lose it to Triple H, he'd go back and forth, and he win it again and go against.
He lost it to Austin at Vengeance.
Right. And it's just, you're basically throwing everything at him. And then the invasion stuff happens. And then it just basically be one of the hand-picked dudes to go against the WCW and ECW. And I don't know, just elongate these title reigns because you win it, then you lose it, then you win it again in your hometown of Pittsburgh just to go, eventually, finish up here at 18 against Kane.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, what the hell's going on with this? You know what I mean?
I think they were definitely in the mood to pass that title around a lot at this time period, seemed like. And I mean, rightly so. There was a lot of people that they could feud around. You had Triple H, you had Austin, you had Angle, now Undertaker, there's Mankind, there's The Rock, there's a lot of people still that are in that title picture,
right? And even later on we'd see him win his second heavyweight title by defeating Austin at SummerSlam of 2002 there, and it's just, or excuse me, 2001, pardon me. And it's just a flip-flop shit. I get it why at this time he had so many different people, but why not give these guys a longer reign, But we would see him obviously later on when they had the brand extension, being drafted over to SmackDown to take his talents over there. So different night.
That was good for him though too.
It's a fresh look. It's just fresh eyes on the prize,
And it kind of gets him away from some of those guys that I just talked about and kind of gives him his own kind of show over there on SmackDown. I mean, I know he wasn't the only one, but it features him more,
Mm-hmm.
Being on SmackDown than getting.
No, I get exactly know what you're talking about. So somebody who does get each and everything that we throw out there is Mr. Rich Palladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
Hey guys, the man with the magical voice, RJ, here with you just for a quick moment to tell you about a great sponsor, EveryPlate. If you like food like I do, this is the go-to for meal kit orders. Not only is it one of America's best value meal kits, but the recipes come together in about 30 minutes. Definitely faster than going down the street to the grocery store, getting all the ingredients, coming home, putting them together, and then eating them. It takes forever to do that stuff from scratch sometimes. But with EveryPlate, not only are they fast and easy to make, but they also come with easy-to-follow recipe cards and pre-portioned ingredients, so you can spend less time prepping and cooking, and quite frankly, spend more time enjoying the good food with your family and loved ones. EveryPlate offers a changing menu of 14 recipes per week, featuring a range of flavors and ingredients, so you'll never, ever be bored again. But quite frankly, and let's be honest, the affordability of these easy meals means more money left over to spend with your family on summer vacations, on concert tickets. Pretty much whenever you purchase anything from EveryPlate, it's more money in your pocket that you can spend on your family and loved ones. It's common sense, folks. But here's the real important part, guys. Head over to EveryPlate.com and enter the code RingsideRant199 to get started with EveryPlate for just $1.99 per meal. Just go to EveryPlate.com and enter the code RingsideRant199. It's pretty simple, guys. My family loves it. My family loves me cooking every night. And with EveryPlate, I can do that and save money at the exact same time. So head over right now to EveryPlate.com and use the promo code RingsideRant199 to start saving today. Thanks to our friends over at EveryPlate.com.
It is now time for Rants and Raves.
I thank for that, Rich. Justin, we saw towards the end of his run, his first run, that is, with WWE, made a run with ECW, WWE, whatever the hell you want to call it. And what we don't know is, some of us don't know, is he actually almost started his career with ECW. Mm-hmm. October of 96, before he had that meeting with Vince, Angle was pretty much convinced to come to an ECW show in Pittsburgh by a fellow Pittsburgh native. Nope, not the good doctor herself, but Shane Douglas, to attend that ECW event that was there in Pittsburgh.
Dean Douglas.
Motherfucker. And then so felt like a motherfucker and whatever. Anyways. But for those of you that aren't familiar with this whole incident, is he was brought in. Hey, let's just test it out. See if this is for you. Good fit. Well, they gave him an in-ring interview, provided him as a guest commentator during a match between Taz and Little Guido, but left, like, got up and said, "This shit's unreal." When Raven was quote unquote crucified, I'm a good sayer words today. Crucified. There we go. Crucified a bleeding Sandman, mm-hmm, by attaching him to a cross using barbed wire. Holy shit, man. I remember this. I really do. For 96, man, this is fucking, mm-hmm, gruesome, man.
Mm-hmm.
And Kurt went as far as saying, "Hey, you guys are going to hear from my fucking lawyer if you."
He had him remove his appearance from the show.
Right. Because he didn't want to be associated with this,
mm-hmm,
with that. Excuse me. And I get that. You're saying, "Hey, let's bring you in." Why would you not call an audible?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're having an Olympic gold medalist coming. Okay. Regardless of whether it's Kurt Angle or whatever.
Just literally did a Got Milk, ad.
Right.
like trying to be like for the, you know, the family, the children, the kids. And now he's going to go from that to being on this damn ECW show with someone right. getting crucified and shit. Yeah, no, I don't blame him. I would have got money taken off that shit too.
And I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me, man. How can you justify yourself when you're trying to sign this guy who legitimately is an amateur, the best at that time, the best amateur wrestler in the world? He proved it at the Olympics. Why are you going to do that? Maybe I don't know. Maybe it's something we could ask eventually down the line if we ever see Paul Heyman. Why would you do that?
Yeah, not the probably smartest of decisions there. But I also don't know how much of a bump or pop Kurt Angle's really going to give that ECW audience. I mean, I guess Pittsburgh's kind of close to their home base, but I don't know how much those fans really gave a shit about Kurt Angle at that time.
Well, was it more so the ECW fans don't give a shit, or is it going to be the Pittsburgh fans that don't give it? Because he is the most over person in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
guarantee. Well, yeah, no, you got nothing, huh?
I mean, I would say Roberto Clemente is more over. Oh, in Pittsburgh. Okay, but
Mario Lemieux maybe.
Yeah, but anyways, I don't know. I just think that, you know, it could have gave them some national recognition. I think that's why they want, you know, maybe if the Pittsburgh Gazette picks up on it, then mm-hmm. USA Today picks up on it or something like that. I don't know that having him on that show really did anything for the ECW fans per se. Like you said, though, it was in Pittsburgh, so it's going to get a pop. I just don't know if that was a great fit for either one of them at the time.
Not 96. I think in 96, he made the best out of a situation that, you know, going to WWF, he tried going to WCW and he talked to Ric Flair saying, hey, what should I do? Should I do this? And Ric Flair said, "Dad, go to WWF. They're not going to use you right in WCW."
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, man, that's got to be the balls on Flair to say, hey, don't come here. They're not going to use. And I don't think they would have.
That was probably right around the time that Flair was trying to go to WWE too. In 98 or whatever, he damn near did.
It was 96, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, was it still 96?
It might have been still 96. But regardless, whether it be 96 or 98.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the writing was on the wall. And I'm pretty sure it was 98 then, because he was trying to reevaluate everything, going back to WWE, trying to see that and going to WCW. That might have been 98
Time when Flair was wanting the hell out of WCW.
He wanted the hell out of there. Yeah. So maybe that's why he was saying, don't bother. That would make more sense being there in 98. But yeah, that was the only thing that has always put a burr in my saddle about ECW is, you know, you got a guy like Angle coming in and you don't call a goddamn audible. What? And I think that's one case of many, I'm sure, that occurred in ECW over the years of their existence that made you kind of scratch your head and say, okay, what the hell just happened?
They kind of stepped on their dick.
Yeah. A little bit. But yeah, I'd say a little bit.
Which I've never had a problem with that, but
yeah, me either. Man, we're really pushing that TV-14 graphic this week, aren't we? But yeah, so fast forward a little bit, we had a little bit more controversy too towards when he was over there in SmackDown, and this whole, if you remember, the whole Tough Enough fiasco with him and Daniel Puder. Mm-hmm. Is Angle basically was in the ring with a lot of the contestants for Tough Enough. And for those of you that don't know what Tough Enough is, it was basically you put your tape in and you become a WWE training as a WWF superstar. Are you tough enough to be one? So he challenged anybody that could go in the ring. We saw Chris Nowaki, come in and basically get tapped out. So then we see other contestants come in and get tapped out, blah. So our last one is Daniel Pewter, who was a legitimate MMA fighter, legitimate, and black belt, all that stuff. So he accepted Angle's challenge, and Pewter ended up wrestling for position. And then Angle would then later take him down and whatever. In the process of that, Pewter locked in a Kimura lock on Angle. For those of you that, you know, aren't familiar with the MMA, it's basically an arm lock that would basically, it done correctly, could basically snap your arm, break your arm. But with Pewter on his back and with Angle's arm locked in the Kimura, Angle pushed his shoulders down, and then the referees pit Jimmy Corderas, quick count, 3 and 1, 2, 3, end of the bout. My one gripe with this whole thing, I get you want to get your tough enough kids over, or you want to do this, you want to do that against a legitimate wrestler with Angle. Two things come to mind. One, why the hell is this even fucking happening? Two, how is the communication lacking so much that Kurt legitimately did not know of Pewter's background? I get how you want to do a shoot, a work shoot. I get that. But you got to tell the dude, this is your golden goose in the fucking company.
Mm-hmm.
And you're nothing against Daniel Pewter. He didn't, I'm not disparaging him, but come on, man, you're putting him against some amateur MMA wrestler, artist, whatever the hell you want to call him.
I blame Bruce Pritchard.
Well, but that's an easy out, though. That's an easy, you know what I mean? That's an easy guy.
Hold on.
To blame.
Well, okay. Hold on. Let me think about it some more. I hope I still blame Bruce Pritchard.
Okay. Well, at least you thought about it. That's all that matters. But how? I just don't get it. Maybe it's something that we haven't seen out there, or something that hasn't been publicized or whatever. Whether it's something that Pewter said, whether it's something that Angle said, or Corderas or whatever. But my thing is, though, okay, maybe the referee didn't know. Well, son of a bitch, fucking tell him. He's got an earpiece in his ear. Tell him.
Yeah, that's last time I checked, all this shit was supposed to be at work.
But last time I checked too, you know? It's like, God damn, son. And I just don't think any three of these guys are really to blame. It's the goddamn system. They aren't telling you before you go through the curtain to the ring. Tell them, what is the big fucking deal? But I just, so many different things could have been so mad, so wrong.
They no called it in the ring.
What's that?
They no called it in the ring.
Well, right. These are the same guys that brought you the screw job shoot or work. It's like, what
Nobius.
The God damn. That's a shoot. But yeah, I just, and I know, like I said, I remember watching this live and it's like, what the fuck's happening? Is this WCW again? Because this is bullshit that would happen on WCW. You know, and people not knowing what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that we knew that was going on that was absolutely fantastic. We'll fast forward a little bit to WrestleMania 19. Brock versus Angle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this was one of those cases of we saw it with Rock versus Hogan passing of the torch? Was this kind of a passing of the torch from Angle to Brock at this point? Because, you know, we're starting to see Angle kind of slowing down a little bit. You're starting to see him get injured a little bit. Brock is a young buck coming in, no pun intended, and really making a name for himself. Whether it be through OVW up to the company, mowing through everybody. He's beating the Rock for the title.
I don't know if I would call it a passing of the torch, because like you just said, he'd already won the title once before. But I tell you, I really like that match, Lesnar and Angle. Just two, you know, mat wrestlers that know how to do that. And they showed that off, especially in the beginning of that match. But then, you know, then they did the pro wrestling shit, and it was good too, the end of it. It would have been awesome if Lesnar didn't about kill himself. But other than that, the match was damn good.
Yeah, it's, and I, like I said, a lot of this stuff I've, at this time, I was watching literally every single pay-per-view at this time. WrestleMania's wasn't even a thought in my mind. I was getting it. This one, you actually had to like subscribe, or not subscribe, but actually buy it on your television or call on the phone or whatever. Now you just fucking hit a button and you're there. But I would always watch it with a group of guys. And one of the guys I was watching with was an indie star. And he saw Brock going up top. He's like, oh, dude, this is going to be fucking bad with that shooting star press that he missed. And dude,
I don't know that I've ever seen someone hit their head that hard like that on the mat.
And
I mean, that thing, I watched it again yesterday. His head hit hard on that mat.
And even marking up his head, he had to fuck the damn.
Yeah, he had a big like a
mark on his
like
head.
A strawberry on his head from hitting.
Like you rub your leg or your arm or
something.
Yeah, but
it was a
round.
Deep one. It was bleeding a little bit.
Right, and I'm like, holy shit! But I think, you know, deep down, you never really saw a lot of emotion from Brock, but when you saw him wrestle Angle, like legitimately wrestle Angle, you saw that emotion come out in him.
Mm-hmm.
The facials, the, you know, just the work that these two guys put. One of, I just, you know, Kurt has been said that WrestleMania 19 was kind of, he's losing it. He's going to go take a break. He's hurt. He wants to get surgery. I think this is around the time he was had his messed up neck again, his broken neck again. So he was on the mend. He was going out. He was getting neck surgery. So he was done after this. And I think that was pretty much the passing the torch there, because, hey, kid,
yeah,
this is your promotion. Now take it and run. And I think, you know, justly so, even beating Angle. I just thought that, you know, we would have seen a little bit more of it when Angle came back. But at that time, Angle came back, he was different, man. He had to take care of himself a little bit more. He couldn't go against a guy. And I'm not saying that Brock was a hard work guy to work with, but dude, he was stiffski. You ain't going in there and, you know, it's not a stroll through the meadow when you face Brock Lesnar. Even now, you get a couple stiff shots. Just ask fucking Braun Strowman with those fucking fists that he was throwing down on him. But yeah, man, I just wish it would have been longer. But you know, it is what it is. These two, obviously, Hall of Famers in my book. Obviously, Kurt being one and Brock being one eventually too. But we saw him go up and down, become a general manager of SmackDown. Playing that up, he had matches with Big Show, a few that I would have rather forgotten, but Team Angle, man. Charlie Haas, Shelton Benjamin, Kurt Angle. Underrated, man.
Mm-hmm.
People that don't give enough just due to three of the best athletes at this time, at that time in the business. And that was pretty much, this is out of the Attitude Era. You're going 2003, 2004, that era. And tag team wrestling wasn't very good then.
No.
But when you're watching Kurt Angle with Team Angle and Benjamin and Haas, dude, you knew you were going to be in store for. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Shelton Benjamin for sure. Really like his work.
Yeah, one of the better athletes. And another Minnesota native, went to Minnesota University with Brock. But I wanted to briefly touch on this before we get to, our listener questions for the week, which we have a long list, so I want to get to each and every one of those. But, 2006, August of 2006, Angle was granted his early release from his WWE contract because of his documented health issues. That Angle stated in his documentary as well, but just wear and tear, multiple neck surgeries, broken necks, just nerve stuff, all that shit. He had to take time for himself and, you know, really think about it. But he would have his last match against Sabu there in ECW, which I think they pretty much said, hey, let's try an ECW to kind of work with these young guys to get these guys, you know, better than what they are. But he briefly would then go to New Japan Pro Wrestling, NJPW, and teaming with guys like Yuji Nagata. And he was even booked against Brock Lesnar again in a champion versus champion match in Inoki's promotion there in Japan in June of 2007. And he would actually win the IWGP heavyweight title by submission by defeating Lesnar, which was mind-blowing. If for those of you that aren't up on New Japan Pro Wrestling, go check it out. It's absolutely, especially at this time, man, absolutely phenomenal. But 2008, he would end up losing the IWGP title to the recognized NJPW champion Shinsuke Nakamura in a unification match. So I haven't been able to find it, but I would absolutely love to see an angle Nakamura match.
I would too.
I'd have to Google it when we get off of here, because that's probably something that I absolutely would love to see. But we would then see him being Kurt Angle, that is pronounced, in 2006, before he went to Japan, make a debut in TNA. He would make more. Do you think, Justin, that his TNA career kind of overshadows WWE career?
I don't know. Maybe a little, but I think most people still consider him a WWE person. You know, I don't know how long he was in over there. What was it, maybe 6 years, or was it longer? No,
I think it was like 9 or 10.
Okay.
I think it was longer than that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he put a good bit in there. And then of course, though, he comes back. So I don't know. You know what? I look at wrestling just like, I mean, back then, but especially before that, like in the 80s and 90s, people just went from territory to territory. Once they were run out, they went over there, and then they went over there. I never looked at guys going from one place to another as a big deal. I look at the entirety of the career, not just, you know what I mean, their WWE career, or their NWA career, or whatever.
Well, but you can even say the same thing with a lot of the, like, Hall and Nash that would jump over to WCW. I don't think their WCW career really overshadowed the work that they did as Razor and Diesel. So I'm not comparing the three guys together, obviously, but it's just, you can kind of compare and contrast their runs from one promotion to another. But that's an argument that we can have for a later time. But a guy that I don't want to have arguments with is Mr. Rich Palladino. Let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
It's listener questions.
All right, Justin. So we got a list of listener questions this week. So why not start with the devilish one himself, Devin Dowling.
The devilish darling.
Devilish Devin Dowling. Darling. He originally wanted to know if we could say the Kurt Angle's three eyes without looking.
Yeah, I only know I think I only know one for sure. One integrity. Is that one of them?
Yeah, integrity.
Okay, I'm going to say intelligence.
Yep.
And the third one, I don't know. What is it?
Intensity.
Intensity. Oh, that's one of our defensive principles we coach in basketball. I should know that.
Intelligence.
Integrity and intensity.
I think it is. I don't freaking know. I thought I looked it up. I don't know. It's been a while. So his other question, he's got three more after that. He says, who is your dream opponent for Kurt Angle? He said his is. Hey, he's. Well, hold on.
Wait a minute. This was a Money Mike question, wasn't it?
No, this is Devin Dowling.
Are you sure? Because I thought Money Mike had the
No, he has a different. He has a different. Oh, he has a different one. He has a different.
I'm sorry.
One.
Okay.
God damn. I was gonna say, I'm like, I don't think
this is why I'm not in charge of production, everyone.
Yeah. He's the face of the company. he said, who is your dream opponent for Kurt Angle? His is Bret Hart. He made sure that I said his before you did. So now you can answer. If it's Bret Hart, then we'll just move on. But
well, we know it's Bret Hart, but I will give a different answer.
How about somebody? Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think a Ricky Steamboat Kurt Angle match would have been cool.
All right. So I'm going to say,
or Randy Savage was the other one I had in my head.
So I was going to say this before he went to TNA was AJ Styles, but we've seen that. What I would like him to see, we're not probably not going to see it, is I want to see him and Kenny Omega. I don't know if they wrestled in Japan. I don't think they did in Japan. I'd have to go back and look at it. But just something that Canadian aspect of it to the American side of it, that clash.
Watch Kenny Omega as a masturbate.
I'm halfway through that episode, the latest one of the experience. The 3-hour goddamn episode. I can't listen to the whole thing. I gotta like take a break and go back to it. I listen like half of it when I mow the lawn or something. So his third question is: Kurt had so many great WrestleMania opponents: Eddie Guerrero, Brock Lesnar, Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, Shawn Michaels. What is your favorite Kurt Angle WrestleMania match?
Lesnar.
You said Lesnar. I
just think their styles matched up so well.
So together. Well, yeah, yeah. I would I'll agree with you on that to a certain point, but my first pick was the Shawn Michaels match he had at 21. I don't think you, in the research, I thought you might have seen that or not. I don't know. But if you don't, go back and watch that match.
I liked him in Eddie's match too.
At 20?
Yeah. The boot coming off and stuff was a clever little
but that was class. That was classic though. That was a way of continuing that feud.
Yeah.
But that Shawn Michaels feud, man, it's something that Angle's gone back and said that one of the favorite guys he worked with in his whole career. And that's even considering TNA with AJ and Samoa Joe.
Who are you talking about?
Kurt Angle.
No, who else?
Shawn Michaels.
Oh, I'm trying to remember who that was. Yeah, I got.
Oh, yeah. He was that guy that worked Bret Hart. That's the guy. that's a no, guy.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just really like that Lesnar and him match. Yeah. Like I said, without Lesnar hurting himself there at the end, it's damn near just a really solid match. I love at the beginning of the match when they both do that little fireman's carry dump slam on their knees to each other, and it's just so quick and fast and hard. Everything they did just looked like it was hard hitting and stuff. I just really liked that Lesnar match that they did. So that'd be my answer, and RJ's going with Shawn Michaels
just to piss you off. So his last question, he being the, what do we call him, devilish, there we go, devilish Devin Dowling. Because I'm looking at the run sheet and I have something different we're going to call him, but you came up with it. Anyways, he said, do you like how he ended his WWE career putting over Baron Corbin?
No.
So I thought.
And Kurt doesn't either, by the way.
No. And I think that, and Kurt said this too, is he wished that John Cena, they could have worked something out with John Cena, because Kurt Angle broke John Cena into the, so to speak, into the business on SmackDown in, and I think it was early 2000s there.
I'm all for a guy like Kurt putting someone over, a new guy over on his way out.
Mm-hmm.
But what in the hell have they done with Baron Corbin since then?
Nothing.
They made him King of the Ring. Nothing. And they had him beat Kurt. And since then, he's trash. And he's trash anyways. I hate it. I don't like him as a performer. I will say this new little gimmick he's doing about woe is me, I have no money and all that. I think that actually works best for him, because it makes the most sense. He's a loser and might as well play off of that. I don't like, you know, Kurt losing to him at all in that. So, yes, that is a big N-O for me.
Yeah, I think it's big N-O for me, too. So, the devilish Devin Dowling, we appreciate you being a part of the show this week. Our next question comes from a new listener. They are at collectible underscore R. They ask your favorite Kurt Angle attire.
Oh, I actually like, first of all, I'm a fan of his attire in general. I like the double straps with the shorts, kind of like the Owen Hart gimmick there. I like that. If I was a wrestler, I think that's what I'd be in, probably. I mean, I think it's kind of an athletic look. But I really like what he wore when he wrestled Eddie Guerrero at WrestleMania 20, that kind of blue and red, really colorful kind of. I think that was his tribute to his buddy Dave.
Schultz
that was killed. But it was more blue, but it had a lot of red in it too. I just thought that looked really, really sharp. I liked that one.
Yeah. I'll go back to his SummerSlam 01 gear, where it was kind of, it looked like he had gold abs on the front. It was plain in the back, which I'm like, you're not going to really look at his freaking back anyways, but it was all red, white, and blue. It was a little bit darker, like a black and blue and gold and red.
Yeah, I think that the blue, that bright blue that he wore against Guerrero with those red boots that he always wore, looked really good.
Yeah, no, that
I'm an entire freak, so I do pay attention to that stuff.
And what you guys aren't seeing right now is Justin is actually in a singlet right now with headgear
on. That's right. I looked like Rick Steiner.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but
I've got my earmuffs on.
So big thank you. So go give them a follow at collectible underscore R. Money Mike is up this week. He is back with three more questions. We're going to go right through this because I'm sure he's like sitting there anxiously with a pencil in his hand. His first question is, if Kurt Angle goes to the WWF in 96 and they do a USA versus Canada feud, does Kurt Angle become the primary leader of Team USA instead of Shawn Michaels? Also, if this happens and we get Brett versus Kurt instead of Brett versus Shawn at Survivor Series, is it possible the Montreal screw job never occurs? Man. I'm not going to say a damn thing. I'm going to say go.
Money Mike went into the weeds on this question, didn't he? First of all, I'm going to say no to all of it because I say, well, shouldn't say no to all of it. I don't think if they bring Kurt over in 96, late 96, that first of all, in late 96, Brett was feuding with Steve Austin. So you couldn't have threw him in there with Kurt automatically anyways. And that went all the way into the summer. Now maybe after SummerSlam and the Undertaker thing, instead of the Patriot, you could feud him with Kurt Angle. But I don't think that Kurt had the heat yet to lead a group against the Hart Foundation. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I don't think you didn't think he had enough people behind him.
At the time, no. If he would have came in 96, I don't think it would have worked. Plus, you had just the natural rivalry between Brett and that other person. So
Shawn Michaels.
I think that, and no, do I think the screw job never occurs? No, because that was if Kurt Angle was there or not, that has nothing to do with the situation going on with Brett and Shawn and Vince at the time. And that's what that boiled down to. All right, I'm done. Next question.
This isn't ringside rant for no reason, folks. Just say anytime, anybody that is going to Chicago for Top Guy weekend or All Out and you see Justin Davis walking in their arena or around a hotel, just yell at him and say that the screw job was a work. Or shoot, you're going to get him going off either way. So just, I implore everybody to do that because that would give us material for the rest of the year. So Money Mike's next question is if Kurt Angle...
Don't give Denovius any ideas.
Oh, I'll message him right now and message you and tell you that that was a work anyways.
I'm going to hide from Denovius at Top Guy weekend.
Yeah, probably your best option. I'll be the referee. That's fine. So His second question is, if Kurt Angle doesn't go to TNA in 2006, do you believe TNA would still have reached the heights that it did?
No.
I don't think really TNA reached heights.
I know, but what he's saying is, I think that the answer is no, because Kurt, you know, along with maybe guys like Sting and some others, was one of the few, like Kurt was in the prime of his career and he was a top level talent. They didn't have too many guys like that. Like they had the Hulk Hogan's and Kevin Nash's and blah, 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 you know, but they, Scott Steiner's, but they AJ. Were not at the top of their careers. And AJ wasn't at the top of his career. Kurt was at the top of his damn career. So would they have gotten as big? I don't think so. Not without Kurt, yeah. Personally.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. His third and final question is, if Kurt Angle never leaves WWE in 2006, do you believe John Cena still becomes the face of the company, or are he and Kurt 1A and 1B, respectively? I'm going to say Cena still is the face.
Yeah.
Just be caught. And I'm not saying if Kurt does not leave WWE, he's still there in 2006. I think you were going to see a Cena Angle feud, but we're going to see what we saw with Rock and Hogan, where Hogan kind of passes the torch to the next generation of talent. We're going to see that with Angle and Cena instead of Rock and Cena that we'd see later on. But that's my side of it anyways.
Yeah. Cena still makes it. It may have taken him a little bit longer. I doubt it. I think Cena's over as the baby face, whether Kurt's there or not.
Yeah. So Money Mike, we appreciate you this week being a part of the show. Go out and, find some money for somebody, you know?
Only a few more weeks till Mark Nelson meets your mom, Money Mike.
Oh, God. And you can start calling him Daddy.
Grandpa.
Well, ain't it, or whatever.
Mark Nelson is 80.
Yeah. I thought he just turned like 85.
All I know is that I saw some pictures of Mark Nelson with wrestlers. It looked like he was taking pictures with Gorgeous George and Danny Hodge. I was like, who are those people? Oh, it's from the 60s. That's right.
60s, 70s, and today. So our next question comes from the Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast, heard right here on as the Visionaries Global Media Network. So shout out to them. Go give them a follow and a listen at Good Bad Wrestle. They ask, where does Kurt losing to Baron at WrestleMania rank in terms of unsatisfying ends to a wrestling career? I think we pretty much answered that as well with Devin Dowling's.
I'll say this question. It's not as unsatisfying as the end of Bret Hart's WWE career in 1997, but it's pretty unsatisfying.
Yeah. No, it's pretty much, yeah, it's up there. It's pretty much 1A and 1B with Bret Hart. Bret's Hart career pretty much ended in 96 anyways. So, big thanks to you guys for that. Next question comes from your friend D at your boy D Harn. New listener. Thank you for that. So he asks, what is your favorite Kurt Angle WrestleMania match? Which we already talked about, but we wanted to give you a shout out as well.
He said his is Brock. I agree with you.
So, yeah, and I mentioned
Big D.
I mentioned Big D.
Going through the Big D and don't mean Dallas.
Awkward pause. Okay, and then mine is still Shawn Michaels, just to piss off Justin. So our next question comes from our man, Larry Skiles. He is at Larry Skiles, 1987.
Is he related to Scotty Skiles?
I think he is related. I think they're blood brothers. Mm-hmm. So big shout out to Scott Skiles. Angle's
great point guard in the 90s.
Oh, of course, for the Magic.
And the Bucks.
We don't remember them. So he asks, Angle's favorite moment in professional wrestling history. I'm still going to say his first championship run there in WWE and winning again there in his hometown of Pittsburgh, the title.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd say, honestly, I really liked that Eddie Guerrero moment.
Yeah.
That was just a fun match, a good match. You know, a match where you know going into it, it's going to be entertaining because both of these guys are comedic, right? Mm-hmm. And both of them can work their tails off. And you don't find that very often where they can, two guys that can not only be serious, that are great workers, but it can also have that comedy side. And that's where that kind of comedy came out right in the end when the boot slips off and stuff. So I really liked that.
Right. So our final question of this week comes to us from the Bottom Line Wrestling Podcast. They ask, go give them a follow at Bottom Line Cast. They ask, who do you think Kurt Angle had his best matches with during his WWF and then TNA run? We briefly touched on his WWE. His TNA, I don't know, Justin, if you watched any of his TNA stuff.
I did. So I can't answer that.
So I think I'm pretty much the only one between the two of us, obviously, that watched his TNA stuff. I briefly saw his stuff, I'd have to say, with AJ and Samoa Joe.
Can't go wrong with either one of those.
Absolutely
two
phenomenal. In there. Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely phenomenal. I implore you guys to go throw it in the Google machine. Check it out. The Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe feud was pretty much right when he got in there. So it was fresh. He was young enough and he was in shape enough to run at Joe. And the same with AJ, man. Just two class A guys, class A workers, making magic in TNA. And you can't really say that too often about TNA. So, but thank you to everybody that asked questions.
Yeah, awesome. That's awesome that we're getting questions from so many people. And guys, keep them coming. We appreciate you guys listening a lot. We appreciate you being interactive and sending in questions. And we will try to get you all in there as much as possible. You know, Mike and them sometimes send in more than one question. And we might have to cut, you know, not answer all of your questions. But we will at least answer one from everyone that sends one in. Right, RJ?
We'll try to anyways, because that's what we're here for, folks. And something that we've gotten a lot of positive reaction from and to is wrestling with music. And we are going to add two more theme musics to our list this week. And we will, I have to go back to the old list that I got going here. It might help if I actually put it in.
We've done two so far, right? And our number one leader is The Undertaker.
And the Undertaker, and number two is Owen Hart, the Rocket theme. So we're going to add two more this week. So
this week we kind of switched it up, because what we're going to do from now on is I'm going to bring one and RJ is going to pick one, and we're just going to play them just like we did last week. But the only difference is, instead of kind of drawing them randomly, we're each just going to bring one to the table each week.
And so then go ahead, RJ. And you guys can decide on which one you like better too. I can always put out a poll when the episode drops, and let us know what you think. A lot of people have come to us, Justin. Money Mike being one, Devin's come to us, a number of other individuals as well. Said, hey, you guys are it's really cool to hear this stuff. So it's good to see that a lot of people coming back to us.
So this week, my one that I'm bringing in is one of my favorite old school. I am a mark for old 80s and 90s, early 90s theme music in the WWE. And one of my favorites is the great Ravishing Rick Rude. And this song, I don't think you can hear it on the cock anymore. Mm-mm. This song is copyrighted by someone else other than the WWE. So unfortunately, you can't hear it anymore when you watch Rick Rude on TV, but we're going to listen to it today. I think it's pretty cool. I think it always fit Rick's gimmick pretty well. So
yeah, without question. So we'll hit play here. Justin, That's good stuff, man. I still say, are you still humming? Are you still humming, or am I just hearing things?
Yeah, no, I love that song. That's awesome. When Rude would come out, what I'd like to have right now.
There it is again.
Yeah. What I'd like to have right now is for all you fat, out of shape, worn out sweat hogs. And just that music going. I mean, I just love that Rick Rude character. I love that music. Yeah. What do you think about it?
That gets you back in the feels, man. We are the elite in this wrestling nostalgic podcasting in general. That gets you in those feels. If that doesn't get you in the feels, I don't know what does. I really don't.
Yeah,
to me, we're not going to rank it right. We'll hear the other one and then rank it that way.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think right now, I think that's, we only have two anyways, but I'm pretty sure that gets up there pretty high up there in the rankings. But
yeah, it just kind of fits with that. You know, the guy that's trying to take your girlfriend. I'm so sexy. Look at me. That just kind of, you know, I love it.
Right.
All right. Well, what'd you bring in here, RJ?
So I am going to bring, I'm coming hard this week. I'm hitting the ground running. I'm bringing the original NWO theme song. So I'm going to hit play on that. Hope we won't get a cease and desist. A little bit longer. Wait for it.
New world order.
All right. So with that, folks, that is what I'm bringing to the table this week. Hopefully that Just Dude, man, that is the theme.
What the NWO music has is recognizable. So, right. I mean, it's also unique. There's really not anything else that really sounds like it. And it brings you back to that 1997, 98 period of time, man. It just hits. Man.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Either one of these, whether it be Rick Rude, which you brought, or NWO, you get to those feels, man. You get to those. You remember when you're that age. You remember coming out to that music when you're pretending you're those wrestlers. And shit, we saw it with Kyle O'Reilly when they came out with Undisputed Era, doing the whole guitar thing. And they did it at the Hall of Fame. And it's the most recognizable logo in wrestling history, the NWO logo. Oh, yeah. Everybody has it now.
Yeah.
You know, but
let's rank them.
I gotta say, and as painful as this is for me to say, I want to put NWO number two over Owen.
Okay, well, let's do it this way. Let's start with Rick, and we'll say,
okay,
does Rick deserve to go over Owen? I say yes.
So
okay, do you think Rick should go over Undertaker?
No.
I say no to that too. No. So we're going to slide right now. We're going to slide Rick into the number two spot. We're going to go Undertaker, Rick, and Owen, right?
So Undertaker, Rick, Rude.
Okay. Now let's rank the NWO.
Okay.
We're going to slide the NWO in front of Owen. We know that.
Yeah.
We're going to slide it in front of Rick.
Yeah.
Now, do you think NWO is better than Undertaker?
Now, see, this is the hard part, because I really want to say that, yes, it is. But at the same time, you got to think of what's more recognizable, NWO or Undertaker. You have to hit one note for the Undertaker. Boom, that bell. And you know who it is. With the NWO, it's like not everybody was a WCW fan.
Yeah, but the NWO music played for like 2 years straight for like half of Nitro. You know what I mean? Because
they had like half the roster. That's why.
And I know, but I'm just saying And to me, I think the Undertaker's music gets lumped in with the performance some too. And so for me, I like the NWO music better. So if I was voting, I would vote NWO number one.
Okay. So
what do you think?
I still think NWO is number two. What we'll do, I'm calling it in the ring here, Justin. We're going to leave it up to you, our loyal listeners. I'm going to send out a tweet on Friday morning after the show drops.
If we're leaving it up to Money Mike to decide, because I don't know if we should do that or not. Hopefully of our other listeners vote as well.
He's good with money, I hear. So
he's not good with music. And our friend Doug will tell you that from Alaska.
Okay. Well.
They heard him sing on a Zoom the other night. Apparently, it was not very good at all.
Well, singing and recognizing good music are two different things. So
we're going to put it up to a vote then.
We'll put Undertaker up to a vote, NWO or Undertaker, and the winner of that poll will get the number one spot, and the other one will get the number two spot.
All right. We'll
do it. Like I said, we appreciate everybody tuning in this week, sending in their questions. Make sure you follow us on the Twitter gimmick, or you won't be able to do this poll coming out. So go over and follow us at _ ringside rant. Follow JD at JD2040. Follow us on Instagram at _ ringside rant as well. Check out the merchandise store at ringsiderant.wolf4apparel.com. We got that Halloween Havoc shirt over there. Our man Frank Bruno sporting it already. So go head over there. Get one if you're heading out to All Out.
Happy birthday, Frank Bruno. Frank Bruno's birthday was the other day.
Yesterday. He is, I believe he's turning 65. So he's a couple years.
He looks good for
65. Yeah, he looks good for 65. So give him a shout out at Frank Bruno, I believe, at 80 on Twitter. Make sure you wish him a happy birthday. So make sure you subscribe across all your major podcasting platforms, pretty much all over the world. Full press coverage. Appreciate you guys. Shining Wizards Wrestling Network, as well as Visionaries Global Media Network. Appreciate you guys as well. That's it, man.
Next week,
we got SummerSlam 1991, which is going to be before 20,000 people at the MSG, Madison Square Garden, that is. A couple of the headlining matches, main eventing with Hogan and Warrior versus Sergeant Slaughter, Colonel Mustafa, who is Iron Sheik as a Iraqi sympathizer, but whatever. We'll talk about it
after
next week.
WCW finally told him to go home and they'll still pay you.
He was still home, so he's getting paid WCW in doing this. And General Adnan as well. Agnad, potato, potato.
Adnana.
Tag team titles are on the line. LOD versus Nasty Boys. And the IC title is on the line, Mr. Perfect versus some guy named Bret Hart. So I'm sure we'll have nothing to talk about that.
Man. Definitely excited about that, man. So, SummerSlam 91 hits me all up in them feels. I can't wait for next week.
Yeah, very underrated SummerSlam. A lot of people don't put it up there with a lot of them. So like I said, make sure you follow us on Twitter to submit your questions for SummerSlam 91. Make sure you follow us there on Twitter to vote on the poll. For the music. And if there's any music you want to hear, let us know. Slide in the DMs. Anybody but Money Mike, because apparently Money Mike doesn't know music. So
I've already got one in mind for next week. Can't wait.
That's gonna be bad. Anyways,
RJ won this week. His guy got ranked higher, but you wait till I bring mine next week. I'm bringing it.
Oh, I'm sure you will be. On that note, thank you for tuning in to the Ringside Rant, and we'll see you right back here in Ranters Nation next week.